Oh, well, yeah, it's 2 days ahead of me, but that includes my boss.
Good evening. I'd like to call to order this meeting of the Mottville Planning and Zoning Commission. If you're able, please rise for the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Mr. Secretary, roll call vote, please.
Okay, let's see.
Our roll call.
Okay.
Commissioner Sumners.
Present.
Commissioner Coblen.
Absent.
Commissioner Fult.
Absent.
Commissioner Gerard, I am here. Commissioner Lundy.
Here.
Commissioner Pike.
Present.
Commissioner Stell.
Present.
Commissioner Terry.
Present.
Commissioner Longton.
Here.
Okay. We got everybody here except for two absents.
Okay. Thank you very much. Are there any additions or changes to the agenda from commission members? Staff, any recommendations for changes or additions?
I think so.
Okay. Everything okay down there?
Yep.
Good?
It's great.
Okay.
Thank you.
Next is approval of minutes. The agenda does say November 12th, but they are December 10th. Regular meeting minutes.
So moved.
Second.
Okay, first and seconded. All those in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Any abstaining? Okay, the minutes are approved.
Ooh, I abstain, I'm sorry.
Okay, Commissioner Estelle abstains. Thank you. Next are remarks from the public. Not relating to items on the agenda, so if you would like to come forward and make a comment not related to something that's already on the agenda, you may do so at this time. Okay, hearing none, seeing no movement, we will move on. We do not have a public hearing this evening, so we'll move on to old business. Item 8A is discussion and decision for 24 sub 4, which is 958 Route 163-046-008-000. The owner is TACT Holdings, LLC. The applicant is the Daybar Company.
That sounds like the mic, no?
What tag is that?
Is that the mic?
Uh-huh. Oh, you got some rats up in sale.
Okay.
Wake up call.
So the owner is TACT Holdings, LLC. The applicant is the Navar Company slash Dean Fisk for a proposed one lot re-subdivision. The application was received November 12th of 24, and a public hearing was held during our last meeting. The public hearing was also closed at the last meeting, and the commission continued our discussion and decision until this evening. Decision is required by February 13th. Meredith, is there anything additional we should know about this?
I do have a list of items that Attorney Chase had brought up during his opposition. Would you like me to address those? Does the commission want to ask questions first and then I can address after? How do you want to do it?
Let's begin with questions from the commission.
Sure.
Okay. Any questions for staff?
Well, let's go and address them.
I think you should address them.
So I went through the recording, so I'll just kind of go through as they came up. Attorney Chase had talked about the planting and maintenance easement. I'm going to let Megan change off the battery, so we'll...
For those of you that can't hear, we're changing out batteries on the microphone.
Mm-hmm.
Sorry about that. Is it working?
I hear it.
Okay. So Attorney Chase had referred to the strip of land that connects the front of Lot 1 to the rear of Lot 1. I just wanted to point out that he had said during his discussions that it was 25 feet wide. On the plan, it is 20, indicated as 20 feet wide. So I did want to point that out to the commission. He also was talking about the planting and maintenance easement is on Lot 1 and not the proposed Lot 2. That is correct. The proposed Lot 2 needs an easement to plant and maintain the proposed trees because they will be planted on proposed Lot 1. That planting and maintenance easement is indicated on the plan and will be required to be filed on the Town of Montville land records. Any potential buyer of Lot 1 or Lot 2 should do their due diligence and check all of the documents in our office and that are filed on the land records so that they would be aware of that. Sorry, just going through my notes to make sure I get everything. He also pointed out subdivision regulation 4.3.8, which states location of all existing and proposed easements, right-of-ways, drainage rights, and open space. The plan shows all proposed easements, and the applicant has stated that there are no existing easements on the property. He did submit into the record exhibit 14, which was an unsigned drainage easement from a previously withdrawn application 23 sub 1, and exhibit 15, an unsigned driveway easement from the same application. This application has not proposed those same easement documents. He also questions subdivision regulation section 4.3.3, location and designation of all wetlands, water courses, and rock outcroppings. The plan, which I believe you all have a copy of still in your packets, the plan submitted shows on sheet 1.11 the all of the wetlands. You'll see the little wetland symbols on there, as well as a 50-foot upland review area. There is a line that shows the delineation and they actually show the wetlands flag numbers, but there are the wetlands beyond that is shown on the plan. That is also was also shown on the plan that the Inland Wetlands Commission received and which they gave you a favorable report for. Subdivision regulation section 4.7.5. The developer shall submit to the commission written copies of all agreements, restrictive covenants, or other documents governing the use, reservation, or maintenance of all land not to be deeded to the town. The applicant has provided planting and maintenance easements, sightline easements, and grading easements. These documents were reviewed by the town engineer. He had some comments, and part of the any approval, there could be a condition. There is a suggested condition of approval that they need to update these based on the town attorney's comments. He had also talked, I had about one of my staff reports where I had referenced that on one of the sheets on sheet 2.11, they talked about removal and disposal of an existing concrete slab. They did not call that same call out on sheet 1.12, so I had asked them to, it's actually a 510-foot foundation, 510-square-foot foundation on lot one, and they were calling it out on one sheet to remove it, but did not call that out on another sheet. That's why that comment was on there, asking them to call it out on both sheets. He had also talked about the in the northern part of the lot one, there's a at-grade slab, concrete slab on there. That shows, there's a note on the plan that states that they cannot build on that slab anything that's outside of the setbacks. And he was questioning why we weren't asking them to remove that. That's an at-grade slab. If you come in, we do not require you to get a zoning permit for anything that's at grade. The other one is an actual foundation that sticks up out of the ground, so that's why they are removing that. He also had questioned section, subdivision regulation section 4.6.6 regarding wells and septics on adjacent lots and asking why they were not shown on the plan. This has been brought up during other subdivision public hearings, and the applicants are only required to show wells and septic locations if the information is available to them by public record. Since the public hearing has closed on this, I could not go back to the applicant and ask them if this information was available to them. So if you decide to approve this tonight, we can make that a condition of approval, that if this information is available to them in public record, that they need to show it on the plan. Otherwise, they'll need to give us a statement saying that it's not available for on public records. He had also questioned that the previous application, which I did not go back and read through because it was not presented into the record, but he had stated on the previous application that they stated has no intent to re-subdivide. The commission cannot require them to put that on the plan. He also made reference to the historical structure definition in our zoning regulations, and he had provided a exhibit 16, which was a printout from a website. He also referred us to check some documents that were in the town clerk's office. Since they were not presented into the record, I could not go and search those. However, when he was speaking of that historical structure, he also pointed out that on the siting council materials, which were not entered into the record, so again, I could not go and look at those. He stated that he wanted this plan to include what the siting council plan included, which was protect and maintain all structures, buildings, and trees on lot one. That is on this plan, and it's on sheet 2.11. Also, subdivision regulations 4.6.2 and 4.6.3, which talk about two percolation tests must be performed on each lot, one in the proposed primary area and one in the proposed reserve area as required by public health. That's 4.6.3. 4.6.2, a minimum of 4 test holes must be dug on each lot, which meet minimum public health code requirements. 2 holes must be located in the proposed primary area and 2 holes in the proposed reserve area. He pointed out that that was not done on lot 2, which is a proposed solar field. That each of those say, as required by public health code requirements, and we did receive, I did refer the application out, and we did receive from Uncas Health that lot 2 will be used for solar panels only, and therefore Uncas Health does not have any comments as a septic system and well will not be constructed on this lot. They also indicated lot 1 meets the requirements of the Connecticut Public Health Code for subsurface sewer disposal. So according to Uncas Health, they've met their requirements. And that's all I have, unless anyone has any other questions.
Thank you, Meredith.
So bottom line, all the discrepancies that were brought up, have they been resolved?
Correct, or we can make that one a condition of approval.
Motion. We need a motion first before we can discuss.
Correct. there is,
She's asking for questions.
Yeah. Does anybody have questions for Meredith before we move on to our discussion?
Yes. So it was stated 25, but you found out it's actually 20-foot width versus 25, correct?
Correct.
So that doesn't infringe on lot one?
That's the strip from the front of lot one to the rear of lot one. That strip is 20 feet wide.
What about the drainage issue that Attorney Chase talked about that went under the road, under that strip from one lot to the other?
There is a drainage pipe there.
Yes.
And there is not currently an easement from the Mostaway's property onto that lot, but that was a pre-existing. So we cannot make the property owner give them an easement.
Thank you.
Okay, any other questions before we move on? Now, we do have a revised motion.
This includes the
conditions for approval.
Yep.
Okay. I'll read it into the record, and then once I'm done, if somebody would like to make it, that would be great. So this is a motion to approve with conditions application 24 sub 4 for two lot re-subdivision of 958 Route 163 parcel ID 046-008-000 in that the application supporting documents and a plan set entitled proposed one lot re-subdivision of 958 Route 163 parcel ID 046-008-000 Oakdale, Connecticut, prepared for the Navar Company, prepared by Soli Engineering, dated September 30th, 2024, revised November 17th, 2024, comply with all applicable sections of the Mottville zoning regulations and subdivision regulations. Conditions prior to endorsement of final plans. 1. Warranty deeds for Lot 1 and Lot 2 shall be submitted to the Land Use Department for review and approval. 2. A certificate of title and statement that there are no prior encumbrances for the grading easement, planting and maintenance easement, and sightline easement as to 958 Route 163 shall be provided for review and approval by the town attorney. Three, planting and maintenance easement and sightline easement shall be revised per the town attorney's comments dated December 10th, 2024. Revised documents shall be reviewed and approved by the town attorney. 4. Plans shall be revised to show location of well and septic on adjacent lots if information is available from public records. 5. Licensed land surveyor shall certify proposed iron pins and monuments as set prior to endorsement of final plans. 6. The existing foundation / concrete slab on lot 1 shall be removed and disposed of as shown on sheet 1.12 and sheet 2.11. 7. Per SR section 3.9 GIS, digital data shall be provided to the Land Use Department prior to endorsement of the final subdivision plan. 8. All plans submitted for signature shall bear the seal and live signature of the appropriate professionals responsible for the preparation of the plans. General conditions. 9. Approved warranty deeds, grading easement, planting and maintenance easement, and sightline easement shall be filed on the land records with the final endorsed Mylars. 10. Three sets of paper plans, along with Mylars that include any required revisions incorporated, shall be submitted to the Land Use Department for signature of the Commission. 11. Any required certificates and/or approvals from state or federal agencies, i.e., the CTDOT, DEP, or Army Corps of Engineers, shall be obtained by the applicant and submitted to the Land Use and Development Office. Any changes to the plans required by such entities may require a plan modification from the Planning and Zoning Commission. Would anyone like to make the motion?
So moved.
Second.
Okay. Having been first and seconded, I'll now open it up for discussion. I'll begin down on the right-hand side and give everyone an opportunity. Commissioner Longton?
I have no comments.
Okay. Commissioner Terry?
No comments.
Commissioner Still?
I do not have any comments.
Commissioner Pike?
No comments.
Commissioner Deschardins?
Okay, between the two lawyers, everything being settled between them? With agreements?
It appears as though our questions have been answered.
Aye.
Okay. Commissioner Summers?
No comments.
Okay. Mr. Secretary, can you do a roll call vote, please?
Commissioner Summers?
In favor.
Boland was in there. Commissioner Pike?
Favor.
Commissioner Estelle?
In favor.
Commissioner Terry?
Favor.
Commissioner Longton?
Favor.
Yeah. I got too many questions. Not in favor, Deschardins. Lundy?
In favor.
Okay, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 in favor. Not in favor.
Okay, the motion passes. Thank you very much. We'll now move on to item 8B, which is 24 Site 12, 25 Church Lane, 095-001-000. The owner applicant is MTIC Acquisitions LLC for a change of use from residential to commercial. This was submitted November 22nd with a date of receipt on December 10th. If you'll remember during our last meeting, this we did postpone this application at the request of the applicant. Meredith, is the applicant here this evening?
Yes, they are.
Would they like to make a presentation?
Yes, they will.
Hi. And I'll notate while they're setting up, decision is required by February 13th this year.
Okay.
If you could state your name for the record.
Linda Akinpora.
Thank you.
I represent MTIC Acquisitions LLC.
Are you able to move the microphone down at all?
Can you hear me now?
Not very well.
On or off.
You can hold it if you want.
Okay.
Bob first.
I'll pretend I'm singing. Can you hear me now?
Yes, thank
okay,
you.
Okay, thank you. Good evening. Again, I'm Linda Akinpora for the applicant MTIC Acquisitions, and this application is for 25 Church Lane to change it from a single family residence to business professional office. The purpose of it is that the Mohegan Tribe would like to move, Mohegan Tribe is the sole member of the LLC, and they would like to move their language department, which consists of 5 full-time employees, Monday through Friday. Usually the hours are 8:30 to 4:30. Their offices would be in this house if this was approved. They would then hold occasional language classes for Mohegan families, which would be about 5 or 10 participants that might occur on a weeknight or possibly a weekend on occasion. And the only proposed improvements to the house would be construction of a handicap accessible ramp, some necessary lighting, some installation of a walkway for emergency access from the gate to the backyard, widening of the parking area. The parking area would be an off-site parking area, which is an adjacent property, which is on the Mohegan Reservation. And that would be with a dustless surface in accordance with the plans that you should have that are dated January 17th, 2025. The parking spaces, there would be 9 parking spaces, again, that are off-site on that adjacent property. And it would include 1 handicap space, and that, like I said, that the parking is on the Mohegan Reservation, which is owned in trust for the Mohegan Tribe, which is the sole member, the sole owner of the applicant. The tribe would be responsible for, you know, any cleanup, keeping the sidewalks, the walkways and the parking areas, clean of debris and snow and ice, and removing trash on a regular basis. And if there's no questions, you know, and I have a bigger plan if you have any questions that we could review.
Okay. Are
Are there any questions? Thank you very much.
Thank you.
All right. In our packet, we do have a suggested motion. Would anyone like to make it and read it into the record? Commissioner Summers?
There you go.
Really?
It is pretty big.
We'll give it a shot.
Don't make eye contact, Joe. That's the
okay. Make a motion to approve with conditions application 24 site 12 for a change of use from residential to business professional office at 25 Church Street, 095-003-001. In accordance with the Montville zoning regulations and the application. Supporting documentation and a plan set entitled Site Plan Prepared for the Mohegan Tribe of Indians of Connecticut, showing property of MTIC Acquisitions LLC, 25 Church Lane, Montville, parenthetical, Uncasville, Connecticut, prepared by the Mohegan Tribe, Stephen R. Marion LS, dated 11-18-24, revised 1-17-25. Conditions, general conditions. One, this approval is for the specific use, site, and structures identified in the application. Any change in the nature of use, site, or the structure will require new approvals from the Planning and Zoning Commission. Two, this project shall be constructed and maintained in accordance with the reference plans. Three, an approved zoning permit is required prior to the start of any work. Four, by acceptance of this permit and conditions, the applicant and owner acknowledge the right of town staff to periodically enter upon the subject property for the purpose of determining compliance with terms of this approval. Five, no business slash use under this permit approval shall be initiated until a certificate of zoning compliance is approved by the zoning officer. Site-specific conditions. Number six, all drainage structures shall be maintained post-construction in accordance with the approved plan set. Seven, all landscaping shall be maintained post-construction. Eight, owner of property used for parking and or loading shall maintain such area and all required sidewalks and buffer areas in good conditions without holes and free of all dust, trash, and other debris. Nine, site signage not shown on plan shall require an approved zoning permit prior to installation. Conditions to be met prior to signing of plans. 10. All plans submitted for signature shall bear the seal and live signature of the appropriate professionals responsible for the preparation of the plans. 11. The applicant shall also submit final plans as approved by the commission in a digital format per ZR section 17.3. 12, a list outlining how the conditions of approval have been met shall be submitted along with final plans submitted for signature. 13, a list outlining all changes to the plan shall be submitted along with final plans submitted for signature. The list should cite the sheet number where each change has been made. Conditions to be met prior to the issuance of zoning permits. Number 14, four sets of paper plans with any required revisions incorporated shall be submitted to the Land Use Department for a signature of the Commission. 15. Any required certificates and or approvals from state or federal agencies, i.e. CT, DOT, DEEP, OSTA, Army Corps of Engineers, shall be obtained by the applicant and submitted to the Land Use and Development Office. Any changes to the plans required by such entities may require a plan modification from the Planning and Zoning Commission. 16. A pre-construction meeting between the applicant, site contractors, project engineer, and town staff shall be held. Conditions which must be met prior to issuance of a certificate of zoning compliance. 17. Complete as-built plans certified to Class A2 accuracy shall be submitted prior to the issuance of any certificate of zoning compliance. The as-built plan shall also contain a certification by a professional engineer that they have inspected the site improvements and that they have been installed in accordance with the approved plans. Any deviations or omissions must be noted. 18. No certificate of occupancy or other final approval may be issued until the zoning officer has signed off on the final work. Note, the conditions of approval do not take the place of other requirements found in the town codes, regulations, and application instructions.
Thank you very much. So the motion has been made.
Second.
First and seconded. Any discussion?
Question.
Mr. Lawton.
Condition number 17, it says complete as-built plans certified to class A2 accuracy. Should the document that contains the definition of class 2 accuracy be cited?
That's a standard land surveying class A2.
Yep. Land surveying application?
Yep.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Okay. Any other discussion points?
Oh, I have one only because I'm a newbie.
I'm sorry?
I have one because I'm a newbie.
Okay.
So she said 9 parking spots. Did she say there was 9 parking spaces?
Yes.
Off-site.
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 Yes.
So it's not required to be next to the building off-site, right?
We have a regulation that allows for off-site parking as long as it's under the control of the applicant, which the Mohegan Tribe owns those spots on the reservation,
right.
And MTIC is solely owned by the Mohegan Tribe. So they have
the
control of those parking
spots
spaces.
Don't have to be, right?
Nope.
Because there's a regulation about 250 square feet, blah, 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 right?
You
okay.
have to have
okay. So that has nothing
one
to do
space.
With
okay. That's how you calculated the number of
I
required
did.
Spaces.
Yep.
But as far as them being off-site, we do have a parking. We do have a zoning regulation that allows for that.
Okay.
So
state that MTIC is owned by
yeah.
Mohegan Tribe.
Oh, that's good. Okay, good. Thanks.
So non-contiguous parking is allowed as long as the same entity owns both properties.
Or has control via a lease.
Has control over.
Yes.
Thank
yep.
you.
Mm-hmm.
Good questions. Thank you. Any other discussion? Okay, Mr. Secretary, roll call vote, please.
Commissioner Summers?
In favor.
Commissioner Zartz? In favor. Commissioner Pike?
Favor.
Commissioner Estelle?
Favor.
Commissioner Terry?
Favor.
Commissioner Longton?
Favor.
And Sheriff Burton Lundy?
In favor.
All in favor.
Okay. The motion passes. Thank you very much. All right. That brings us to the end of old business. We will move on to new business. You'll see in your packet there is a printout regarding the 2025-2026 budget. These are the Planning and Zoning Commission related items. Meredith, is there anything you'd like us to know beyond this?
We do not have a budget for a secretary salary because that comes out of our regular land use since Megan is our recording secretary, so we will leave that at zero. The training and conferences, last year's adopted was 500. We have 9 commissioners and the land use mm-hmm. that everybody is able to go to has gone from $50 up to $60. If you wanted to bump that up by $40, but not everyone has their training currently. Commissioner Estelle sadly is leaving, so when we replace him, we will need that commissioner to take some mm-hmm. training, and they may want to use it, but 500 should be okay because not everybody goes to that training.
Mm-hmm. Right. So, mm-hmm. okay. Commissioner
Summers. But I think one thing we have to keep in mind, because there is statutory requirements now for continuing education for commissioners. This is what that is one option. There are other options, and by that one option, we're expending the entire budget. So it's something to keep in mind.
So you're saying that we could accomplish the training perhaps for a different price point?
With the statutory requirements, there's other trainings available. Okay. Whether the more or cheaper, don't know, but it's something we should keep in mind.
Terry had taken another one. She's also going to be taking this one. And there are also some three ones that we can take
right.
to.
Okay, good point. Thank you.
Mm-hmm. I'd like to make a motion. We increase 10675300 training and conferences by $50 to make it a total of $550.
I second the motion.
Okay, any discussion? All those in favor?
Aye.
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 Any opposed? Any abstaining? Okay, the motion passes to increase to $550. Thank you. So then with that change, I think we should do a motion to approve an amended budget.
I'll make a motion for an approval of the amendment of the budget.
I'll second the motion.
Any discussion? All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Any abstaining? Okay. The motion passes and we've approved the budget. Thank you very much.
And just a point out so everybody knows, this is going to be my recommendation to the mayor, and then mm-hmm. the mayor sends it on to the finance committee, so mm-hmm. things could change.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Yep, of course.
Okay, next item is the formation of a subcommittee for a SIF grant, which I briefly addressed during our last meeting in December. We've received notice that we have received or we will be receiving funds from a grant that was applied for last year. And as part of this grant, we've engaged Jim Butler, who is going to help us manage the process of administering the grant. And we also, it's been recommended that we create a steering committee, and that was actually part of the grant as well, saying that we would create a steering committee, which is purely just an advisory role to this commission. So the steering committee will sort of be boots on the ground, and then they'll bring recommendations and news up to this committee. So I have a motion that I'd like to read into the record. I'd like to make a motion to create a CIF planning grant steering committee to consist of up to 12 persons to be appointed by the Town of Mottville Planning and Zoning Commission, or PZC. The steering committee will have a purely advisory role to the PZC in the design, management, and implementation of the plan, and will consist of stakeholder leaders to include, if possible, membership from the targeted communities, the PZC, the town's Economic Development Commission, a town council liaison, the Mohegan Tribe, local utility representatives, i.e. WPCA and potable water, public safety, and others whose insights the PZC finds will be useful to the steering committee. The terms of the members of the steering committee shall expire upon the adoption of the plan by the PZC, and the steering committee shall be deemed to have terminated at that time. The chairman of the PZC shall be the chairman of the steering committee. The steering committee shall appoint a vice chairman and recording secretary and shall comply with the Connecticut Freedom of Information Act. The following are hereby appointed to be members of the steering committee: Sarah Lundy, Planning and Zoning Commission; Ron McDaniel, WPCA; Maricus Hernandez, Economic Development Commission; Lenny Bunnell, Mayor; Chief Blanchett, Police Department; Chris Clark, Mohegan Tribe Utilities; Nick Sevilia, Town Council Liaison; Stacy Radford, Land Use and Development, Zoning Enforcement Officer, Wetlands Enforcement Officer; Meredith Badaluca, Land Use and Development Assistant Planner; Eric Marsh, Project Management, most recently with Oxoboxo Lofts; Mario Infante, General Manager at Rand Whitney; and Dave Waddington, owner of GWCT Scrap and Yale's. So I've made a motion.
Second.
Okay. Any discussion? Questions?
Questions about any of this?
Mm-hmm.
So it looks like the RFQs, RFPs have come back. Is that correct?
No.
We requested responses by January 24th.
I'm
just reading what it says.
Jim, did it go out according to that timeline?
Thank you, Madam Chairman. Good evening,
pleased that I'm working for the town on this important project. I think you still have a motion on the floor regarding the steering committee. The next item on the agenda is the RFP-RFQ, and that is in draft form. It was provided to the mayor's office and then forwarded to Chairman Lundy for the Planning and Zoning Commission to review and comment upon before it does be made public. The dates in there were dates that they're draft dates based on the time I wrote the RFQ-RFP. I have shared that with Department of Economic and Community Development. They are still reviewing the RFQ-RFP. The dates will be changed, but it suggests a pretty aggressive timeline. I think the mayor told me he wanted to provide a couple of weeks' time for consultants to get back to the town with their response. And based on my experience at the Council of Governments, most consultants are readily able to do that. The amount of information being requested is not beyond what they typically churn out when they apply to towns for projects like this. I hope that answers your question.
It did. I asked the chairman any question, and that's who was here, and that's why I asked it. Thank you. It does clear up. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. All right. Any additional questions or discussion regarding the formation of the SIF Planning Grant Steering Committee and its members? Okay. We'll do a vote then.
Commissioner Summers?
In favor.
Commissioner Zdarnz, I'm in favor. Commissioner Pike?
Favor.
Commissioner Stell?
Favor.
Commissioner Terry?
Favor.
Commissioner Long?
Favor.
And Chairperson Long?
In favor.
Okay, all in favor.
Okay, thank you. All right, so now that we've got the subcommittee formed, we can move on to discussion of the RFQ, RFP, which is request for qualifications or request for proposal. That's the next item in your packet. Jim, is there anything additional that you'd like us to know?
Thanks, Madam Chair. I'd just like to note that the format used is based on what the ECD requires towns to use for this type of solicitation. I tried to base it on the grant application prepared by your former town planner who made the successful grant application. A lot of the information in there is right from the very detailed grant application the town submitted and was which the award was based upon. I do know that we've got, the town has until, I think I used an end date for the for the project of 1 year from when the consultant comes on board. I think you have until another 3 months beyond that, till June 30th of 2026, to finish this, but I'll confirm that. I'm happy to answer questions as to why certain language is in the request for proposals. I still have a question to DECD whether they want to have the town request the actual fee. As I've been referring to this, it's a request for qualifications and a request for proposals. And that's the way a lot of towns and agencies are going now. It's a quality-based selection process. So you're actually selecting a consultant based on their previous experience, the team they bring to the project, how they might approach it. And once you make that selection, then you sit and negotiate a final scope of work and the final fee. Most sharp consultants are going to know that the town of Montville received a $250,000 community investment fund grant.
Mm-hmm.
So I just want to make sure that DECD, and I'm not familiar with the town of Montville's solicitation requirements. I'm assuming you've done this a lot and that you can request qualifications and then negotiate the fee.
Mm-hmm.
And for those of us that are not in the trenches, can you spell out DECD?
I'm sorry, Department of Economic and Community Development. They're overseeing this grant for to the town, and that's who will be sending all our financial reports to, et cetera. They also will participate in the steering committee meetings. They'll receive a report from the town via me every month as to progress on the project.
Yes, Commissioner Longton.
For our edification, can you make a digital copy of the RFQs available?
I provided a Word copy to the mayor's office, and I'm sure that could be sent to the commission.
Thank you.
Please excuse the Southeastern Connecticut Council of Government's letterhead. That's my former employer where I worked for a long time. And I used a template I created years ago to start this work. It's supposed to be the town of Montville letterhead, and I note with some embarrassment tonight I didn't note that it was on our COG letterhead. Wow.
Embarrassment noted.
The Council of Governments is quite pleased that the town has received this grant.
Commissioner Longton, you also have a hard copy in your packet, but we'll request a digital copy as well.
Thank you.
Commissioner Terry.
I didn't see that.
You can answer questions on this, right?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay.
I'll try.
All right. Thank you. So I just want to be clear. We're receiving $250,000.
Yes, ma'am.
And we formed a steering committee to study Route 32 and 163. And we're going to hire a consultant on top of that. Correct?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay. And
there
the steering committee is volunteer, but we will pay for the consultant, correct?
Yes.
Okay. Not to the tune of $250,000, correct?
The grant is for the consultant.
The whole thing is for him?
Yes.
Boy, what a racket. Wow. What a racket.
Wow. So in the end, there's no money left for us to help anybody, right?
Well, the project itself, I think, will... As I understand it, and I was not involved at the time the grant application was made. I was still working for the Council of Governments. The purpose of the application and to create this project is to come up with ideas that will help the business people, the residents, specifically those who live along 163 and Route 32, but it will also be, you know, have townwide impacts. Come up with ideas. Think of it as an economic development study. It's also a land use and transportation study. It might recommend traffic improvements to 163 or streetscape improvements that'll improve the appearance of 163 that the businesses that are there might find desirable to attract more people to come to 163. The town applied for a planning study. They did not apply for funds to do implementation. That could be the subject of future applications based on recommendations that come out of the study. $250,000 is not a lot of money for a study of this magnitude these days.
Mm-hmm. Okay. I mean, I can't say I'm not disappointed because I drive down 163 every day and I can identify them and I'm not a consultant. But it would have been more beneficial to me to help these people because in the end, they probably already know that they have blighted businesses, but they can't seem to get out of it, or they can't seem to help or have the money to tear them down. I guess this is what it is. It's $250,000 for a consultant. Thank you. I did not know all of that money was going to go to a consultant. Thank you. That cleared it up. Thank you.
That's what the town asked the DECD
to fund. I get that.
I'm assuming the Planning Commission had conversations with your former town planner about the application. I'm not sure.
Thank you. But,
yes, ma'am. Excuse me, ma'am.
If I could just elaborate on that, I agree with you, Lisa. That's a lot of money for a plan. But the way it was explained to me was that this was an initial step in order to qualify for additional grants for the actual development. For whatever the plan consultant said, you ought to do this or you ought to do that, and this is an idea, these ideas should be transformed into an actual plan to develop something along the Oxabaxa Brook and along Route 32. That was the plan. If you look at what is along the brook now,
mm-hmm.
There's room for improvement there.
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely.
And if you look up around 32, there's areas for improvement along there, too. So mm-hmm. This, we don't know what we don't know.
Mm-hmm.
This is what we're going to try to find out.
Sounds good.
And Jim's right when he says, for this type of a plan, it's not a lot of money. It's a lot of money to you, a lot of money to me. Mm-hmm. But for the plan itself, what we're going to be asking them to do, it's going to take some time. It's going to take some research. and that's what it's all about.
Okay, thank you.
This type of study is something that we've talked about over the years, too, about just needing to know, you know, like what the parcels of land are, what the possible uses are, having some more data as a foundation for action down the road. And we're fortunate that we were able to get a grant to do this when, in my opinion, we're going to have to do it at some point, or we should be doing it. So fortunately, we did get grant money for it, and hopefully down the road we'll be able to use that information to get additional grants.
Sounds good.
And Jim, correct me if I'm wrong, they're also potentially going to look at our zoning regulations, and if they see something that might be stopping development, they'll suggest a change
to
us.
That's disgusting.
I would hope that that would be part of this study for sure, because zoning establishes how land can be used, which creates economic development. I want to commend your former town planner. He had the vision that this was an important study to the town, and he, throughout the grant application, underscored the need for public engagement during this process. So that'll be a strong component of this planning process throughout the year. And the steering committee will represent you will represent your various agencies and commissions, but you'll also represent the residents and the business people and visitors to the town of Montville. So there will be several opportunities for the public to address the steering committee and therefore the Planning and Zoning Commission during the process.
All right. Any other discussion? Okay. Thank you very much, Jim.
Thank you.
So there's no vote needed on that. That was just a discussion item.
Sure.
Mm-hmm.
We will move on to zoning matters and the zoning enforcement officer report.
So what matters?
Stacy Radford, zoning wetlands officer for the record. This is the zoning wetlands report for the period of December 10th, 2024 to January 27th, 2025. Total number of inquiries to the office were 168. Total number of zoning permits open at the beginning of the reporting period were 357. The number of certificates of zoning compliance that were issued with field inspections were 20. Total number of field inspections were 12. Total number of zoning permits issued were 43. 42 were new, one was denied. Giving us a total number of zoning permits currently open to 379. There was one new zoning enforcement complaint, 12 ongoing complaints. There were two complaints that were closed, no new wetlands complaints, two ongoing wetlands complaints, no wetlands complaints were closed, and there is one inland wetland application which has been scheduled for a public hearing. And there were no ZBA applications. Are there any questions?
Yeah, what's an LP tank?
Liquefied petroleum.
Oh, LP tank, okay.
Are there any of these that you think we should know about in particular?
As far as the complaints?
As far as anything in your report, mm-hmm. anything that holds a bit more weight than anything else?
Nope. I think everything is pretty standard.
Mm-hmm. A 24-hour, North Salem Turnpike, it said it's installation of 12 by 60 shed. That was denied. What was that? What was the reason for that?
That was denied because he does not have a principal structure on the property, and in order for him to have a shed on the property, you need to have a principal structure.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Good.
Thank you very much. We do not have a land use director report this evening. Is there any other business?
Something really quick for Megan.
Sure.
Anyone who wants to attend this conference,
the word
Mr. Terry, you're all set.
Mm-hmm.
You're going to send Megan all of your details.
The word
anybody else who
the
wants
word's conference.
All day land use conference. via Zoom.
Mm-hmm. Oh, Zoom cars.
So it will be in your living room. Yep. But if you want to attend, let Megan know by next Friday?
This Friday.
This Friday.
Yep.
So if you can email her your email address, phone number, and remember the book goes to your house, so your home address.
So what day is this?
You're it doing just
fine. March 22nd from 9 a.m. to 4:30. It's a Saturday.
March 22nd.
Yeah, it's usually six or seven modules.
I probably had it right.
So if you're interested, get in contact with Megan by this Friday.
Okay.
If you have
my name on it.
She needs your home address, Juju.
I'll email.
Probably, yeah.
All right. There's no correspondence this evening. No need for an executive session. And so with that, I'll make a motion to adjourn.
So moved.
Okay.
So moved. Did you say second?
Second at what?
All those in favor?
Aye.
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 Okay. Meeting is adjourned. Thank you.
See you next month.
Yeah. A couple
your
more.
Farewell party.
No, I'm here in March, too.
Oh, you're going to come in March, too?